From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. A group called Fair Maps Illinois is making yet another push to amend the Illinois Constitution so an independent commission draws the borders of state House and Senate districts. That would be instead of the way it's currently done, when the lawmakers who have the majority in Springfield can draw the district boundaries themselves. I know you have questions and comments about this. You can join the conversation today by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We also asked members of our texting group what they think. David in Mount Morris said, "I'm all for the redistricting of the state and the nation as well by an independent commission. The current state of affairs allows for politicians to pick their voters as opposed to the voters picking their politicians. Gerrymandering is out of control nationwide, and not only do I think that an independent commission will be a reminder to our civil servants as to who they work for, but it will force them to earn their votes." David says no political party is entitled to anything. That said, Anne in Bloomington responds, "Just a few months ago, I would have welcomed an independent commission. It's the right and fair method. But since Texas's decision to gerrymander the process, I can't. When all states take the high road, it is absolutely the way to proceed. But if Illinois and other progressive states do so now, we're allowing the cheaters to take permanent control of the federal government." All right, joining us now to talk more about how this would work, what's behind the idea, and more, is one of the prominent former public officials backing the plan. Lori Lightfoot was the 56th mayor of Chicago, serving from 2019 to 2023. Mayor Lightfoot, and I actually don't know what's polite here. Do I still call you mayor? In any case, thank you for being here today.
No, it's my pleasure to be here, and most people do call me mayor, but frankly, as the young people would say, I'd double-click on your first text. Listener that you read, he's got it all right. We shouldn't live in a world where politicians get to pick their voters, because when that happens, they're not accountable to the voters. And we see in Illinois how disastrous that can be. We need to make sure that races are competitive. They're not now. Over 40% of the General Assembly, and this is really focused on the General Assembly, not the congressional districts, but 40% of the General Assembly doesn't have a primary, equal number doesn't have a general election. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever, because what happens then is the elected officials are more beholden to the leaders of their caucuses, whether it's the Speaker of the House, whether it's the President of the Senate, and the people who fund them, than they are to the individual voters. You know, again, I'm biased as a former mayor. Every time Springfield was in session, I worried about what new unfunded mandate was going to come. And unfortunately, there were too many people who represent Chicago were foisting a tax burden on Chicago taxpayers. It's like they crossed the I-80 and forgot who they represented. So there's a lot of reasons why, in my view, we've got to get legislative redistricting under control and make the elected officials more accountable to the voters.
Okay, so under this proposal, how would redistricting work in Illinois for the state legislative district, the state House and the state Senate?
So the way that the process would work is in order to comply with what the Supreme Court said from 2016, where they struck down the proposal, even though we had overwhelming voter support, we need to stay within the four corners of the Constitution. We would have legislative leaders pick members to the commission. So they would be ordinary voters. They wouldn't be elected officials. And then they would convene and do listening sessions all across the state. We would compel them to be transparent. The process isn't transparent now at all. But it would be ordinary voters that would be the commissioners. And then they would work with experts. They would not take into consideration political implications of one map versus another. They would look at making sure that we're meeting all the meets and bounds of the Voting Rights Act, the Constitution. And they would then be more, frankly, likely not to cut up communities, making sure that you've got contiguous districts, not these things that look like a something out of a child's nightmare where you've got a string that picks up a piece here, ends up there. We feel very confident that by having a citizens commission involving the legislature, not excluding them, which is one of the things that the Supreme Court found fault with, but do it in a way that frankly brings the pressure so it's not loaded up with a bunch of partisans on one side or the other.
So I'm glad you mentioned the look of the district, because this is something that often comes up, and I think there's even a page on the website, fairmapsillinois.org, where you're promoting this, where you say, look at these districts, do these look fair? And the one everybody always points to is that earmuffs district. I think it used to be the fourth. And it was drawn that way, though, to unite two disparate, as I'm sure you know, two disparate Latino communities in Chicago that otherwise, you know, there's a lot of Latino people in Illinois and in Chicago, but they don't all live kind of next to each other. And so that's a different, so what do you say to that? Yeah.
That's the fourth congressional district, the old fourth congressional district. And you're right. Because of the way in which the Latinx population was situated in Chicago, there was a portion on the north side, frankly, where I live, and then a portion on the southwest side. We needed to be able to bring those together. But that's a different matter. There was a legitimate reason to do that, to empower the Latino community. And frankly, that was the only time I was involved in litigation that we actually beat the machine. We beat Madigan to create that district. But again, I want to emphasize that was a congressional district. Our proposal is focused on state legislative districts, so the state house and the state senate. You know, sometimes there can be reasons that make sense, but what you're seeing now with some of these other legislative districts that were drawn, they were drawn for one purpose: to make sure that you were maximizing one party's control and minimizing another party's control. And look, here's the other thing that I think it puts us in this time where I think our democracy is really in peril. We've got to get more people to participate in elections. And that's one of the challenges. When people feel like their vote doesn't matter, as we see, unfortunately, in poll after poll after poll, you get terrible results. We had a national election last fall. You know, every person of every persuasion said one of the most important consequential elections of our lifetime. In Illinois, and I live in Chicago and Cook County, 20% of people came out to vote. 20%. That says something, and that's an indictment of our process. It's an indictment of, frankly, the choices that voters are given, and it's an indictment of so many other problems. But if people felt like their vote mattered because the districts aren't gerrymandered, they're going to vote.
Let's talk about some of the things you mentioned, that the Supreme Court struck down previous attempts to do this. And as you well know, the Illinois Constitution is written in such a way that it's very difficult. I think the only successful sort of citizen-led effort to change it was the Cutback Amendment in the 1980s, led by Pat Quinn, who would, of course, go on to be governor. You know, there's that line the old line from Ab Mikva, that we don't want nobody, nobody sent. And that's kind of the way the Illinois Constitution is written. How do you plan to overcome that this time?
Well, look, I think it's a very different situation now than it was. And, you know, I'm cognizant of the fact that people are repulsed by what's happened in Texas, as they should be. And frankly, now the arms race to out gerrymander the other states. I mean, that's an unfortunate consequence of when you don't let the people draw their own maps and not let elected officials do that. But I think it's a different Supreme Court. You know, candidly, Mike Madigan was a master strategist, a master chess player. He had the whole process rigged all the way up to the Supreme Court. It's a new court. And I have some confidence that those people care about their integrity. They're not going to just bend to the will of the political wind. But look, we don't know that until we get there. The most important thing right now is that people sign those petitions that are circulating. We've got to get a minimum of 300,000, and we really need to double that to make sure that we're going to be able to weather the storms that will come. People will try to contest the validity of these signatures. Let's get on the map. Let's make sure that you're signing those petitions to have a shot and have a citizen's voice, and then the chips will fall where they may with the Supreme Court. But look, we've got great legal minds that are involved in this. We believe that we've crafted a amendment to the Constitution that absolutely will meet constitutional muster, that addresses all the supposed infirmities that the Supreme Court said in their 2016 decision. And I feel very confident about our chances. But we've got to get on the ballot. We've got to get people to sign up. And if you feel as passionately about this as I do, I hope you'll consider making a donation.
All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are speaking with former Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who is among the prominent backers of a new effort to change the way Illinois state House and Senate legislative districts are drawn. It would amend the Illinois Constitution to create an independent commission. They're gathering signatures now in order to put this on the ballot. It would go to the voters next year, and then presumably the changes would come after that if the voters were to approve this. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us today. 800-222-9455. Let me share another text message we got from a listener. Jesse in Mattoon says, what is to say an independent commission lacks bias? In a state like ours where corruption runs deep, is there even such a thing as an independent commission? Perhaps it'd be better to let artificial intelligence software develop maps based on parameters set and reviewed by an independent commission with public comment. What do you think of that?
Well, look, I could certainly appreciate the skepticism, and that's why we want to make sure that the selection process is 100% transparent. And frankly, if people send a message to the legislative leaders that we want transparency, we want to vote, we want a voice in how these legislative districts are chosen, I think that they can't help but be responsive. And frankly, if they're not, they're going to be accountable in a court of law. But the system that we have now is fundamentally broken. And people may be asking, hey, why such a Democrat? This is now supermajority Democrats in the House and the Senate. You've got a Democratic governor. Why on earth is this Democrat from Chicago involved with this that would frankly level the playing field? Well, the reason is simple. I believe that the people should choose their legislators, their elected officials. We live it in what's supposed to be a participatory democracy. That doesn't happen if on the front end, the elected officials are more concerned with perpetuating their longevity in their elected job than doing the people's work. And frankly, what we've seen over and over again across the state is the legislature isn't responsive. It's passing unfunded mandates that put a huge financial burden on municipalities, where they're the municipality with limited resources, even in a place like Chicago, then has to go to the taxpayers and say, we need your help. That shouldn't be happening. They should be accountable to the people who sent them there, who vote for them, and that is simply not happening now. And I would guess that a lot of voters up and down the state don't even know who their state rep is. They don't know who their state senator is. And many of those elected officials are okay with that. I'm not okay with that. I believe in our democracy, and I know that our democracy will be strengthened if we end the gerrymandering in the state of Illinois. That's why this Democrat is fully aligned and supportive of this initiative.
We need to take a break in a couple of minutes here, but I do want to ask, why now? Why this? What sparked this latest push? As you said, with what's happening in Texas and now Missouri and Indiana and California, this is in the news. It's a different thing here. As you said, it's about the state legislature, not congressional seats, at least not yet. But why now?
Well, I think it's a coincidence, frankly, that it's happening at the same time now that redistricting is in the national news. Obviously, we started this process over a year ago, and it just so happens that we're announcing it now because we want to get on the ballot for next spring's election. So that's part of it. But why not now? We have seen the consequences and the harm that's been done by these hyper-gerrymandered districts. We've seen voter participation go down and down and down. And if we don't do something soon, I think our democracy in the state is really going to be in trouble. We need to bring people back. We need to make sure that people feel like their vote matters, and that the best way to do that is by giving them a say, a real say, in who their elected leaders are going to be and holding those elected leaders accountable.
All right, we're going to take a break. Let me share one more listener comment before we do. Lex in Champaign said, there have been at least three efforts in contemporary Illinois for a commission or other unbiased strategy for redistricting. I worked on a petition drive for months in the last decade or so. It lost in court. Parts of the most recent Illinois map are shameful, and this latest Trump gambit to get red states to redistrict and blue states following their lead in response is scary, Lex said. It's wrong. It's one more sign of a real breakdown in civil and political behavior. Once more, people talk about a commission, a pox on every legislator who has stood in the way of redeeming the cause of fair maps. Illinois' already bad map will be made worse if the legislature redraws now, just halfway to the next census. But in a perfect world, we would use a commission and lots of data to create a reasonable map. I'm jaded, Lex said. Let us know what you think. 800-222-9455 is the number to join us today. More with former Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot of the Fair Maps Illinois Group when we return. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are speaking with former Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot about the Fair Maps Illinois proposal. She's one of the prominent backers of this effort to change the Illinois Constitution in order to have an independent commission draw the boundaries of state House and state Senate districts. Currently, those boundaries were drawn by the supermajority Democrats, who have had control of the Illinois General Assembly for more than two decades now, almost three decades now. If you want to join us today, 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. There's somebody else who's reacted to this, and that is our governor, J.B. Pritzker. He was asked about this shortly after this plan was announced. We have a little bit of tape from him. Let's listen to what he had to say.
I think having an independent commission is a good idea. It has to be done on a national basis, though. It can't be done state by state. We'd be unilaterally disarming as Democrats if we did that.
So, Mayor Lightfoot, can you address that point? Because I think I do hear from Democrats who say, you know, I'm pretty happy as a Democrat to be living in Illinois because, you know, if you care about abortion rights, reproductive health care, gender care, things like that, it's one of the few places, certainly in this part of the country, where Democratic policies still carry the day. And maybe that wouldn't be the case if maps were drawn differently here.
Well, listen, I'm a realist. It's never going to happen across all 50 states. It just isn't. But we know the states where it happened, it actually works. You get more people involved. You're not disarming. For example, California is a deep blue state, just as democratically leaning as Illinois, if not more so. They've had an independent commission. It's worked well there. Arizona was one of the first states to do it. And so I, you know, with due respect to the governor, I think you've got to have the courage of your conviction and do it because it's the right thing to do. And as I said, you see, we're not unilaterally disarming. We're making the playing field level. But importantly, if people felt like the vote mattered, more people would come and vote. It is not a good thing, and it's not the sign of a healthy democracy when fewer and fewer people show up to vote. We should be concerned about that. The plummeting voter turnout in election after election should alarm and concern anybody who cares about good government and who cares about our democracy. And one way to address that is to make sure that people feel like their vote matters, to make the races more competitive, and so you don't have these extremes really running the state. And that's, unfortunately, the direction that I'm fearful that we're headed in.
I want to ask another question from one of our listeners. Justin in Chicago said, how will this change improve representation for historically underrepresented communities? And how will it prevent dilution of minority voting power?
Well, any map that is produced has to pass muster with the Voting Rights Act that is ironclad and has also been baked into the Illinois Constitution. So protection of underserved communities, protection of voters whose, frankly, voice hasn't always historically been heard, that is a given. It wouldn't be constitutional, it would be unlawful, and it would be struck down if a map came out that diluted minority voting protections. So that's a given that's baked into the entire process.
How would you respond? Like, I think of, like, in central Illinois, there's a state senator. Her name is Doris Turner, African-American woman. And she represents both the east side of Springfield, a predominantly black neighborhood in Springfield, although a minority in this community, and also a predominantly black area of Decatur as well, which is a minority in that community. And I think some people would say, you know, when you talk about communities of interest, yes, an entire municipal boundary, that is certainly one community, but you also maybe African-Americans in Decatur and Springfield have more in common than they do with their fellow, you know, Springfieldians and Decatur citizens. How would you respond to that?
Well, look, I think the question is, can we make the races more competitive? And again, I have a little bit of familiarity with that Senate district and the senator. And yes, of course, you want to make sure that these contiguous pockets of communities that have the same interests are not diluted. That would be an example where you put those communities together. But that's not what's happening across Illinois. What we see is a real effort to make sure that we diminish the minority party's ability to have any voice or say in the elections. And what you're doing is you're disenfranchising all those voters. So if those voters feel like, you know, why should I even care? Because my state rep, my state senator has no ability to influence anything, doesn't have the ability to effectively represent my community, I'm not going to vote. That's the problem. That's the danger to democracy.
How do you think, though, because race is such a part of what we're seeing, and again, I know it's a different thing, and that you mentioned, as you said, the timing is coincidental, but in Texas, right, there seems to be a real targeting of some of the black lawmakers there in their efforts at redistricting right now.
Yeah, I mean, what I've read about the Texas congressional redistricting is they want to completely diminish the ability and effectiveness of frankly, black communities, not just their representatives, and disperse them and frankly pit them against the Latinx communities because they believe the Republicans down there believe that the Latinx population in Texas is more likely to vote Republican. It's a very, very cynical gesture. And frankly, I don't think it's constitutional. I would expect that Texas map is going to be tied up in litigation because of the way that they went out of their way to diminish the ability of black voters in Texas, across Texas, to be able to elect a legislator of their choice. So we don't want that. That's terrible. It's unconstitutional, and frankly, it's racist. But what we've got here is where you are carving up communities basically, totally on the basis of partisanship to diminish votes. That's wrong, too.
Let's go to the phones, 800-222-9455. Jim is calling from Northern Illinois. Jim, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, good morning. Glad to be a part of this. I was just wondering why we couldn't do something where our state enacts fair maps legislation but leaves the federal alone until there's more equity amongst the federal. Let Congress decide to do that. Or the Senate. Mm-hmm. Like this, mm-hmm. That's my question. Why couldn't we just do that?
All right. Thank you for that, Jim.
Yeah, that's a great question, Jim. And the reality is the legislature absolutely could do that, but they choose not to. They like the way that it works right now. They could absolutely set up an independent commission. They could pass that into law They could do it in a way that I think would pass constitutional muster. They have zero incentive or plan to do that. But you're 100% right. It could be done. It could be done tomorrow. When they return for the veto session in the fall, they could do it then. But they won't. That's the problem.
Am I mistaken in recalling that one of your sort of colleagues or peers in this effort, former Congressman Ray LaHood, former Obama Transportation Secretary LaHood, said that he hoped, this is about legislative districts, state districts, but he hoped congressional districts would follow by the new legislature. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think in an ideal world, you have an independent commission to draw all legislative maps. Our focus is on the state House and Senate. But yeah, of course you'd want an independent commission to draw the congressional maps as well. I mean, you look across the country at what has been done to diminish voters in some of these congressional districts. It's criminal. It literally is criminal. You'll have in a state, a district that starts in the northern part of the state and then has a skinny little spaghetti line down to the north. Do you think that those voters in one area of that district feel connected to voters in another? They do not. But that's what gerrymandering does. And ultimately, it disadvantages and discourages people from participating in democracy.
We're speaking with former Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot about this group, Fair Maps Illinois, working to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot next year. They're gathering signatures now. You can learn more about it on their website, fairmapsillinois.org. Mayor, while we have you, I was hoping to also ask you about, given all the news that's happening in Chicago this week, how you are thinking about the possibility of a federal military deployment into the city.
Well, look, I think it would be a terrible decision by the president and his administration to do that. We faced the same threat when I was mayor in the summer of 2020. And the fact of the matter is, this has never been about violence in any city, whether it's L.A., whether it's D.C., whether it's Chicago. You know, the numbers have gone down precipitously over the last 4 years. We're at historic lows in shootings and homicides and carjackings. So the numbers don't add up. And frankly, if this was really about violence numbers, there'd be red cities and red states that would be at the top of that list. But they're not. And there's no conversation about that. This is a political ploy to humiliate Democrats, humiliate cities run by Democrats. And it's going to do more harm then it's going to do good. The federal government is uniquely qualified, I think, to help cities with a number of things. And in Chicago, it's as when I was mayor and now, the challenge is all the illegal guns that flow into our city from other states, like Indiana, like Mississippi, and to a lesser extent, other Midwestern states. What we need is the federal government to send more prosecutors to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Chicago, to not gut the ATF, which is what this administration has proposed. They're proposing cuts to the ATF of over 50% to reduce the number of agents, to reduce the number of inspectors who go to the gun shops that also hold the gun manufacturers liable. So if you look at the facts don't add up to the rhetoric. This is all about politics, and it has nothing to do about public safety. And so I would say what has happened, unfortunately, is a lot of fear that has been created. It's no coincidence that this threat to bring in these additional federal resources is coming in September when it's National Hispanic Heritage Month. That's not a coincidence. And so I've been talking to people, not surprisingly, all across the city, and they're canceling events that would be in celebration of Mexican Independence Day. They're canceling events that they would otherwise put on for in honor of Hispanic Heritage Month. That's a shame. It makes me very sad, but it also makes me angry because it's unnecessary. Nobody wants violent, dangerous criminals on any streets, period, full stop. No one. Doesn't matter what your political persuasion is. But there are ways to get at that, that sending in troops that don't know anything about local policing, that frankly, you know, from what we've seen in L.A. and D.C., they stand around guarding federal properties, but it's a guise for ICE to come in and make illegal traffic stops. That doesn't make any sense. You cannot just throw the rule of law out the door. You can't tear up the Constitution. And, you know, look, I don't like this idea. I'm opposed to it. I don't think it's necessary. I think there are constructive ways that the federal government could engage and collaborate with local leadership, but that doesn't seem to be in the mind's eye of either President Trump or anybody in his administration. And I think it's a real shame. It's a real missed opportunity. But again, this is about chaos and fear. It's not about actually doing the right thing.
You know, and it comes in this context in just a few minutes left, but you were a former federal prosecutor in Chicago,
yep.
And there have been a lot of changes at the Justice Department as well. And I wonder how you see that, you know, if you see that as of a piece with what we've been talking about potentially happening in the city with the military.
Look, I think it's going to take a long time for the Department of Justice to recover just in what's been done in these 9 months, right? Federal prosecutors should call balls and strikes. They should be fair. They should be above politics. But unfortunately, under Pam Bondi and this administration, the Department of Justice has been weaponized. It's been going after people that are perceived as enemies of the president. It's not going to have any legitimacy if this is the way that they're handling things. Firing people who dare raise their hand and say, wait, what about this? What about the rule of law? What about the Constitution? Right? Making people take loyalty oaths, not to the Constitution, not to the rule of law, but to the President of the United States. It's going to take a long time for this Department of Justice to recover. And frankly, my hope is all the lawyers who are doing these things that are violating the law, that the local bar associations are going to look at them and say, do you deserve the right to practice as a lawyer again? I think it's doing horrible harm. I haven't seen as much of that happening in the Northern District of Illinois, but I'm worried about it, I'm worried about it in our country.
And I guess last question, what would you say now to Chicagoans who might be concerned about what these next weeks or even a month or more could have in store for them?
Look, I think that people have to know their rights, particularly in immigrant communities. If somebody knocks on your door and they don't have a judicially signed warrant, you don't have to let them in. I still believe in the rule of law. As a lawyer of now almost 40 years, as a former federal prosecutor, and clearly as a mayor, I believe that we've got to uphold the Constitution and we've got to push back against illegality. It doesn't make sense for armed, law enforcement officers to come into our city, wreak harm, shield their names, shield their agencies, tear people out of schools. They're going to courts. They're going to domestic violence courts when, you know, women and others are filing petitions to protect themselves. The way in which they are doing this can only be described as cruel and brutal. You know, people need to abide by the law, no question about it. But what the president promises, I'm going to rid the country of violent, dangerous people. Those aren't children that are being ripped apart from their families and sent back to countries that they don't.
We're going to have to leave it there. Mayor Lori Lightfoot, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.